Church.
What a great joy it is to welcome each and every one of you as we come together this day celebrating gifts and blessings from Almighty God. Indeed, we have those blessings so that we in turn might then be a blessing to those individuals that we meet and interact with each and every day. And may the peace of Christ be with you. Let us please rise and pass the peace of Christ to our neighbor.
Good morning and welcome. We, if you're visiting with us today, we welcome you. And if you're here all the time, we welcome you too. We're glad to have you here. A lot of people on vacation, I think, by all the holes I see in the seats. If you are visiting us today, the ushers have a packet for you. When you leave, please check with one of the ushers. And they'll offer that to you. And in the pew right along the aisle, there are red pads. If you would please fill in your name and phone number and information there, we'd appreciate it so we can count you as here. There's a card in there too to put any prayer requests on that you have. If you have any joys or concerns, the pastor can read those when we have our prayer time. Okay. For some moments of informality, let's see what's going on in the church. We have a picnic coming up. If you can sign up, please, either on the form that's in your bulletin or out in the narthex on the form out there, so we know you're coming, so we have enough food. You're still welcome to come even if you don't sign up, but if you do sign up, we'll make sure we have enough food for everybody. Thank you. And let's see. We have a special service coming up, too, that's planned for September in the evening, Saturday evening service. And I know the announcement's in here somewhere, but I can't find it, so you get to find it. And if you're interested in coming, it's on a Saturday evening. And it's kind of a new venture for us, so be nice if we had a group come out and support it. If you're interested, please come. Okay, are there any other announcements this time? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
please stand and join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletin? Come, now is the time to worship.
Now is the time to spring forth in faith.
Give thanks to our God.
Sing of God's praise and glory.
Seek the Lord.
Rejoice in God's presence.
Come now is the time to worship. And let's join together in the opening prayer.
Steadfast God of faith and grace, call us now. Carry us out of our fears and doubts into the glorious message of your saving love and constant presence. Walk with us, O God, as we renew our faith, discern your call to our lives, and journey forth as disciples of Christ.
Amen. You may be seated.
I would invite you to turn of your hymnals to page 39 and follow along on the baptismal covenant, and I would invite little Matthew to come forward with his mom and dad. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church, and we are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation. All of this is given to us without price. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? If so, answer, I do. And do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, answer, I do. And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, promise to serve Him as your Lord, and in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do. And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? If so, answer, I will. And do you, as members of the body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the waters and you brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water, and after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin, clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. What name is given to this child?
Ready?
Matthew, I baptize you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. He said he was a little under the weather today. So let's go out here and see who all we can see.
To be welcome the child.
invite you to take up your bulletin and as we prepare to share in this last paragraph where there are some changes in the wording. And so, members of the household of God, I commend this child to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you and welcome you in Christian life. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And now may the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live and grow in peace. Amen.
Stand and sing hymn number 577, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Children can come on up for the children's sermon. Good morning. How's everyone doing? Good? You getting ready for school? Is that going to be happening soon? Oh, sweet. Soon for you because you had your birthday yesterday. Were you like 17? Six. Okay. Why don't you scoot on over here so her sister can be next to her. Do any of you have pets at home? No pets? What do you have? You have a dog. A big dog or a little dog? Or medium size? Big dog. Do you know what kind? A what? A chow. That's a pretty hairy dog, isn't it? Furry. What's the chow's name? Coco. How old is Coco? 9. Well, you know a little bit of everything, don't you? And does Coco always listen? Sometimes. We have a little dog, too. She's about this big. She's a miniature dachshund. And she's older than all of you are. She's about,
what is she, 12, I think? Or she's going to have a birthday soon.
Yes.
He's 10. Okay. Her birthday's the end of the month, I think August 31st. And when I took her out this morning to go to the bathroom, she had to go potty. She started to the front yard and she going towards the road and I said, Doxy, no. She looked back at me and kept taking steps. Oh, I said, Doxy, no. Well, she didn't get that close to the road. And finally, I didn't want to wake the neighborhood up, but I finally had to say, Doxy, no. Then she stopped. I said, go potty, not you. And she went. And then usually I can say house and she'll go into the house. But my favorite one, and my mother-in-law was amazed, any time of the day I can look at her and say, Doxy, kennel. And she runs right to her little cage, her kennel. Doesn't matter where she is in the house. Boom, she'll go. Now, does Coco some days is good, some days bad? Yeah. How about you? Do you always do what mom or dad say? I see the smiles. Mm-hmm. Do they always do what they're told, mom and dad? I see, no. No, we don't. But do your mom and dad still love you? Absolutely. Do we always do what God wants us to do? Nope. Do moms and dads always do what God wants us to do? We'll take the pressure off us. No, they don't. That's why we're in church today, to learn. But you know what? God still loves us. And that's what I always want you to remember. Even when we do things right, even when we do things wrong, our moms and dads love us, and God still loves us as well. And we can always say, I'm sorry, forgive me, and start all over again. You were camped today at Jamonville. Did Grandma go with you? You had Grammy and me camp? Did you walk up to that big cross? Did you meet any cute boys? No, because you know what? I met a cute girl there. I married her. I did. I met Leanna and married her. I met at Jamonville, so you never know who maybe you met. Uh-oh. She's got this dreamy-eyed look. All right, let's bow for prayer. Lord God, we are thankful for these children. We are grateful for your presence in their lives and pray that you will continue to bless them, that others might see the joy of your son Jesus in them. Be with their moms and dads, their caregivers, grandmas and grandpas, all of those that look after them, that they might all be blessed as well. For this, oh God, we are grateful and thank you. Amen. Hey, we're going to give some cups out. You're going to go out there and collect some money. Today, it's for a program that deals with special needs children.
To me, I will draw near to you. I will draw near.
better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Better is one day in your courts, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, than thousands elsewhere.
Will you please turn with me to page 828 for Psalm 105. We'll read together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call on God's name. Make known God's deeds among the people. Sing to the Lord.
Sing praises. Tell all God's wonderful works.
Glory in God's holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek the Lord's presence continually.
Remember the wonderful works God has done, the miracles and judgments God has uttered.
O offspring of Abraham, God's servant, children of Jacob, God's chosen ones.
The Lord is our God, whose judgments are in all the earth.
The Lord is mindful of his everlasting covenant, a word commanded for a thousand generations.
The covenant made with Abraham, his promise sworn to Isaac, and confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying,
to you I give the land of Canaan, as your portion for your inheritance.
At this time, the ushers will come forward for God's tithes and our offerings.
These gifts that we offer up to you this morning, help us not just to give, but also to live more boldly and more generously. Grant in us the faith to step out of the places in our lives where we are so cautious and anxious that we miss the joy that comes from the kingdom living Jesus taught. Help us to walk on water, strong in our faith, and keeping our eyes on Christ. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Please be seated. We come now to the time in our service to lift up joys and concerns from individuals and situations in our midst. If you turn in the back of our worship folder, you'll see our prayer concern and list. To the best of my knowledge, we do not have anyone that's hospitalized or recently discharged, so that's always good news. I did receive a note for the family of Shirley who passed on Friday. And what's the connection here again, Diane? Shirley's daughter is Shirley, who maybe your hairdresser, is that right? Not mine, but maybe yours. And so that's the connection there. And speaking of my hair, I actually have it down here. You know, it's fascinating with the social media. A colleague had sent an article that, you know, the epidemic of this, I hope I'm saying it right, Ebola virus. Probably our medical teams are not going to push to find a cure because that tends to hit third world countries, poor people, and there's just no financial gain for them. It would cost them too much money. And yet we're pouring money into baldness, and there are children present, so I'll say this sensitively, male issues that are corrected by the little blue pill. Catch my drift. There's money in those things because of middle class and upper class. So the pharmaceutical supplies will pour money into research, but not on something that they can't make money on. My heart sank that humanity is reduced to the almighty dollar. We hear that over and over again, and yet we see it speaking loudly. Another concern, or the dad, it was a joy. At the early service, some of the kids are leaving this week to go away to college. Mom was a little lamenting. Dad was, yes, they're out of the house. So this is that week and that time when we will begin to see that transition as college students are beginning to return over the next couple weeks. And we'll want to remember some of these families that are experiencing empty nest syndromes for the first time, and maybe having to learn how to get reacquainted with their spouse. I had a text yesterday morning of a family friend a couple years ago, remember my friend Tom, that had an aneurysm, and that was corrected, and he is doing phenomenal. His mom fell Friday night. It was late in the evening. Tom happened to be there, was with her when she fell. She kind of tripped and fell down, we're guessing, on their back porch, 8 to 10 concrete steps. And yet, she never evidently touched one of those steps. She tripped that far, midair, and landed on her head on concrete, right here. Was taken to the hospital, flown to Hammett in Erie, broke the ulna in her arm, and has fractured this bone right here. That's it. Maybe discharged today. When I was talking with Tom and his sister Mindy, you know, the overwhelming emotional response is, why is that all the damage? And so you can ask that question till the cows come home. Jack Osterman was in worship at the early service, and, you know, it's not necessarily of a why, or it's now what happens now because there's a significant blessing in the life of a family. And so we rejoice in the injuries that she sustained because that's all she sustained, but now pray for the recuperation process. And then, of course, the names of individuals there in personal care homes, those that we continually pray for, those on a rotational basis of this month, and then our service personnel as well. Let me also call attention, it mentions our altar flowers this morning. They were in, there it is. Paul and Marion celebrated yesterday their 75th wedding anniversary. So they were in church at early service, both with walkers, but they were here. So if you might want to drop them a card this week, congratulating them for 71 years. I said, what words of wisdom do you have? And she said, just keep trugging along. So, you know, good days and bad days, but just keep right on moving along. So let's continue now as we unite our hearts and our spirits and sing our prayer hymn together. Gracious and loving God, how good it is to be in your presence, to be in your house, your home, to be gathered together here with brothers and sisters in the faith, to know, O God, that it is here that you call us by name, and even those times when we do not respond, you are gracious, you are loving, you are forgiving. There's nothing we can do today, O God, to make you love us anymore. There's nothing we can do, O God, today to make you love us any less. Because your love for each of us is perfect. And indeed, O God, that is good news, because we know that outside the walls of this place, that life and society is different and difficult. Calls us to do this, to be that, to go here. Calls us to push and pull for ourselves. And yet you are the one that teaches us to live for others, to be more concerned about our neighbor, our brothers and sisters, to be more concerned about the needs of others and their situation than ourselves. And oh, how contrary that is to the world. And so we struggle, we live, and we learn. And in the midst of it all, O God, you seek to keep your hands around us
so that we might continually be shaped and molded as the potter shapes the clay. Oh God, you are not finished with us yet. There are great things in store for each of us. There are wonderful gifts and blessings that we have yet to receive. Oh God, we celebrate life and all that you give to us as you send us out into the world to be your church, to be your disciples, to be followers of Christ. One of those things, O God, that a follower is to do is to pray for others. You, O God, have heard the names of individuals that we've raised this day and voiced. You know, O God, the names of individuals and situations on our prayer list. You, O God, know those situations, those individuals that are upon our hearts and our minds that just cannot be made public today. O God, hear the prayers of your people. Work wonders in their lives that they might celebrate your presence, your healing power, that lives might be changed, lives might be healed, lives might experience your saving grace and presence. Oh God, we pray for the mission and ministry of each individual, each family, each home that is represented here this day. Bless us and use us, O God, wherever it is that we will be found this week. O God, we ask and we pray these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has taught us to say when we pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Paul's letter, Romans, from the 10th chapter, beginning with verse 5. Listen and hear these words that Paul has for us this day. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that a person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, Do not say in your heart who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips, and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for your servant Paul, for his teachings and proclamation within the life of the church. Oh God, now we would ask and pray that from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come, that you, oh God, would give us a sense of peace and rest. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, oh God, may they be pleasing and acceptable to you today and every day. For we ask and pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. How many of you have one of these smartphones? I'm convinced that it's smarter than I am. There's a feature on here that I've not yet really grown accustomed to. It's called that auto-correct function. It can be great on these phones, but it weeds to be fine tuna. You know what I mean. You type a message and you send it, and then you go, oh, shoot, that's not what I meant. as that autocorrect kind of takes over. If you've got a traditional flip phone, you have no idea what I'm talking about. But that same thing can happen, that a message is sent with a word differently than the way we wanted it to go. That can happen in Christian life when faith gets translated as law. Oh, we've all tried typing on those little tiny keyboards with our thumbs, and the keys seem to be half the width of our fingers. And so because of that, phone manufacturers have come up with this autocorrect, which is supposed to correct your message for your friend, your coworker, or your loved one. But the problem is that while autocorrect can read your typing, it cannot read your mind. And therein lies, well, sometimes the amusing messages. A mom reacting to her daughter's picture, "You look affordable." She meant, "You look adorable." But then again, maybe the kid did shop as a thrift store. Hopefully that's the case. Mom gets a message, sends to her son, "Where are you?" And he replies, "I'm having a little seizure." "Oh no, I'm calling 911 for you right now." "No, Mom, I meant I'm having a little Caesars. I'm having pizza." A guy to his friend, "So how was the date?" "Awesome. I killed her at the end." "That bad, eh?" "No, I meant kissed her." Stupid autocorrect. You get the idea. You've probably been on the sending and receiving end of some of those texts as well. Sometimes we get the words wrong as well, especially when we are looking at Scripture. The Apostle Paul in this morning's Scripture is writing to a Roman church that's struggling with the conflict between Jewish Christians who are recently returning to Rome after being exiled by the Emperor Claudius, and to the Gentile converts who likely are making up most of the groups and the small house churches that are dotted around the city. Paul is trying to help these early Christians to get their terms right. Since both groups are tending to go back to the autocorrect, which is the language that they've grown up with in the church before they became followers of Jesus Christ, Paul, throughout his letter to the Romans, is inviting them to share in some new common vocabulary. Here's a quick review. In the first three chapters of Romans, Paul reminds everyone, both Jews and Gentiles being all of those that fall under the category of not being Jewish, he's trying to remind all of us that we fall under a form of slavery that is critical to deal with, that slavery being sin. All have fallen short and sinned, and therefore have fallen short of the glory of God. In chapter 4, Paul reminds individuals that God's solution to the problem of sin is through the covenant that began with Father Abraham, who placed his faith in God and became the father of the nation of Israel, whom God was going to bless so that Israel in turn might be a blessing to all of the nations on the world. And through Moses then, God gave Israel the law as a way of marking them as called out and a set apart people. Now we know that Israel struggled with the law. And we realize that in Paul's letter to the Romans, that Paul reminds individuals that the law itself was not the ultimate solution to the world's problems. Because we realize, in fact, that the law only points out sin. You break the law, you sin. But it does not teach us or tell us how to get out from underneath that sin. And so focusing on the law, Paul says, when we focus on the law, we will not only then focus on sin itself, but we need to fix this. And the law itself won't save us, but faith in Jesus Christ will. Because what God has done through Jesus, Paul is trying to educate both Jews and Gentiles that there is a common language that we can use, and that is a language of faith. The Jews have been focused on the law. The Gentiles once focused on philosophy and social status. Now their common ground is to focus upon Jesus Christ. And that then brings us to chapter 10, this morning's reading. Paul's desire for those who are stuck in the old language, that default, that autocorrect of where they were before the presence of Jesus Christ, Paul seeks to get these individuals on board and to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Paul never says or denies that obedience is something that God requires for us. But an outward obedience to a set of rules and regulations is not the way in which we enter into a relationship with Almighty God. What God requires of us is a righteousness of faith, putting our trust, our being, our lives in God and patterning our lives after Jesus Christ. Paul says we're to focus on faith defined as giving our whole selves, our whole allegiance to God, to Jesus Christ, and that our faith then can be expressed in a couple of ways. We've heard in this morning's scripture that we are to confess our lips with our lips that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now that would have been startling for these first century Roman Christians. For them to say that Jesus is Lord means that Caesar is not Lord. And to say that meant that they were committing treason against the empire, which is in fact the charges that many of them had placed against them and resulted in their death. Confessing Jesus Christ as one's Lord and Savior meant then, and it means now, we're giving our allegiance to this newness in Christ. That Christ alone is our ruler, our sustainer. Secondly, Paul says, believe in your hearts that Jesus was raised from the dead by Almighty God. Now, we know that death has become the curse of sin. And we know that that sin entered in that story of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve were disobedient. The law told us what sin was and has reminded us of the consequences of sin. But Jesus, however, is the one who has reversed that curse. In Jesus, God has defeated death. And those who believe in them, we are told with our whole heart, with our beings, will then share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is not something that is hoped for, but salvation is something that begins now when our lives are intertwined with Jesus Christ. Faith, in other words, isn't a set of rules, but faith is a way of life. When we are in Christ, we will always then, through Christ, be made right. It's that forgiveness that's offered to us. But it's not just about getting our lives centered on Christ. It's also about sharing Christ with the rest of the world as well. Sharing and living out our faith on a daily basis in Christ. Those are ways in which we then become the messengers to bring Christ's grace to the world. It's about sharing the grace and love of Jesus Christ. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright puts it this way. God is putting the world right. So God puts people right so that we might be God's right-putting people. It dawned on me last evening that we can take this morning's scripture, and I think put it into three words: confess, believe, live. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are thankful for these words of scripture and the good news that you seek to be a part of our daily lives and living. You sent Jesus Christ as the one to teach us that we might learn and follow, and that you empower us and bless us every day through your Holy Spirit. Oh God, continue to bless us so that we in turn might go and be a blessing. For it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations. Our gracious and loving God, you seek each and every one of us. You desire for us to confess, to believe, and to go and to live and to be. Oh God, continue to bless us, shape us, send us. For we go in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.